great Kahan, Joshua Hawkins.
Please note. Each and every one of you may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're going to start here today. I'm going to read a story. Now, I've seen this. This was something posted by Pave. One of the sites we use to help try and stop violence, and we try to encourage people on where their minds need to be focused on. But this was a story they posted this week, and many of you may have heard it, you may have read it. But I want to read it again because it really starts off what I'm going to get into. The post was, years ago, my dad met a stranger who was new to our small town. From the beginning, Dad was fascinated with this enchanting newcomer and soon invited him to live with our family. The stranger was quickly accepted and was around from then on. As I grew up, I never questioned his place in my family. In my young mind, he had a special niche. My parents were complimentary instructors. Mom taught me right from wrong, and Dad taught me to obey. But the stranger, he was the storyteller. He would keep us spellbound for hours on end with adventures, mysteries, and comedies. If I wanted to know anything about politics, history, or science, he always knew the answers about the past, understood the present, and even seemed able to predict the future. He took my family to the first Major League Baseball game. He made me laugh. He made me cry. The stranger never stopped talking, but Dad didn't seem to mind. Sometimes Mom would get up quietly while the rest of us were shushing each other to listen to what he had to say, and she would go to the kitchen for peace and quiet. I wonder now if she ever prayed for the stranger to leave. Dad ruled our household with certain moral convictions, but the stranger never felt obligated to honor them. Profanity, for example, was not allowed in our home, not from us or our friends or any visitors. Our longtime visitor, however, got away with four-letter words that burned ears and made my dad squirm and my mother blush. My dad didn't permit the liberal use of alcohol, but the stranger encouraged us to try it on a regular basis. He made cigarettes look cool and cigars manly, and pipes distinguished. He talked freely, much too freely, about sex. His comments were sometimes blatant, sometimes suggestive, and generally embarrassing. I know now that my early concepts about relationships were influenced strongly by the stranger. Time after time, he opposed the values of my parents. Yet he was seldom rebuked and never asked to leave. More than 50 years have passed since the stranger moved in with our family. He blended right in, and not as nearly as fascinating as he was at first. Still, if you walk into my parents' den today, you could still find him sitting over in the corner, waiting for someone to listen to him to talk and watch him draw his pictures. His name? We just call him TV. Now, you probably figured out halfway through the story what it was getting to. Many times we set up guards in our households. I mean, we would never allow a child molester into our home or someone we knew that abused alcohol or someone that would bring drugs into our home or violence or anything like this. We lock our doors at night to make sure these things stay out from our children to protect them. But daily, these children have this influence in front of them, in their lives. Here's another post. This was posted by someone. Now some of this was as I was a child. Some of it came in after I was a child. But many of you are going to agree with what this person's saying. Not necessarily the excuse they're using, but where they're coming from. This person said, me behave? Seriously? As a child, I saw Tarzan almost naked. Cinderella arrived home after midnight. Pinocchio told lies and Aladdin was a thief. Batman drove over 200 miles an hour. Snow White lived in a house with seven men. Pi-Pi smoked a pipe and had tattoos. Pac-Man ran around with digital music while eating pills that enhanced his performance. Shaggy and Scooby were solving hippies that always seemed to have the munchies. All these things, if you look back and you remember, if you've seen these things on television, all these things influenced those types of lifestyles. Whether you realize it or not, the effects that we're seeing in the generation today, the generation that's reached the full extent of sin. Remember what Pastor said? We had the Ten Commandments. We had those things we could hold on to until the invention of the television came out. When this stuff was brought right into the home, Every home had one. Now every room has one. Every person walks around with one on their hip. It's constant. The pulls of this world are constant. And we have to guard against these things. Here's a report. It's called Television Corrupts Us or Vice Versa. Now, this is considered an opinion, and it's considered an opinion because there are many opinions in here that it does not agree with a peaceful solution. But there are many things in here that you can look at, and you can understand where this person sees these things. He says, when we turn on our televisions nowadays, we get 700 channels of news and entertainment. However, we are really subjecting ourselves to 700 different ways to waste our time and corrupt our minds. Shows infiltrate the minds of today's youth, and they disrupt the fragile foundations of their morality. As television spiraled downwards, so did our society. Or was it the reverse? Most likely, the two went hand in hand. Instead of catering television towards families and striving worth, networks are seeking the shock factor in order to capture people's attention and to boost their own profits. Shows have to hook viewers within 15-second glimpse of the next week's show or the season finale, and often insert scandalous clips in order to catch their audience's attention. Shamefully, these previews work because this is exactly the kind of television that many people want to watch. It's what their heart desires. Furthermore, between each show are equally unethical commercials. Advertising reflects the content of the television shows in order to appeal the audience and accordingly to advance the profits. And that's profits, all right? Not the prophets of Yahweh, okay? This is putting money into their pockets, okay? That's what it's speaking of. That's what it's all about. Society has become absorbed with the fantasies on television, and people have begun to replicate this negativity in their own lives. For example, many teenage girls strive to reproduce the profligate lifestyles of Gossip Girl, and they ignorantly mimic the vulgarity of South Park. The world's growing obsession with superficiality and cupidity may be a direct result of the materialistic values and bombard us when we turn on our television. The modern world's fascination with television may be hard, if not impossible, to reverse. It says, if we continue to fuel the television's industry negativity by watching worthless shows, the deterioration of society's values will persist. And this is where the opinions come in. However, if people limit their viewing to quality programs such as the Discovery Channel, all right, now there are shows, you know, animal shows and stuff like this that, yes, children can learn by. But you have to guard against these things also. I've sit there and listened to some of these shows, and I don't know how many sexual innuendos I've heard on animal shows by their hosts towards the animals. Don't think that just because you found a nice show on Discovery Channel or Animal Planet or something that you think your children are learning about animals, guard against it. All right? Satan is crafty in her deceit, and she uses the media expertly, all right, to expertly train children in covetous practices in order to deceive the many. That's what they're using, and we can't allow these things in our lives. We have to be the guards of our own households. We have to be the guards of our families. We have to be the guards of Yahweh's kingdom. It says, useless shows' approval ratings will decrease and stations will be forced to reconsider their priorities. Now, instead of the Discovery Channel and the other show they had here, I put, you know, quality programs, the prophetic word programs. You know, Yahweh.com, these things that can teach us, educate us on how to be moral, how to make the proper decisions, how to abstain from this way of lifestyle. Well, that's quality programming. Okay, that's the only quality programming there is in this world. Praise Yahweh. He says, in today's world, we endeavor to live secure neighborhoods, yet we must keep our children safe by locking the channels on the television in addition to our front doors. Now, you know, when I was growing up, there was no such thing as internet, and that's probably the case of most people here. Today's children, all right, the next generation, they have temptation everywhere they look. There's nowhere you can go without this stuff being there. Now, as parents, guardians, teachers, educators, we have to make sure that we try to protect them. Educate them. You know, don't just hide them from it. Educate them and what these things are doing. That's what the peaceful solution does. And we're going to get into that if I have time on how the peaceful solution educates you how to recognize the barriers that you have that's keeping you from reaching your potential, setting your goals and reaching your potential with a positive character. He says, unless people acknowledge television's negativity and refuse to promote it, society is destined for a future of increasing materialism, uniformity, obscenity, and immorality. How true that is. I've heard a very wise and a true man of Yahweh teach us those same things. Right? That's how we know it's true. Because the one that's been sent to us is educating us on this. All right? Yahweh's not waiting for the world. All right. Remember, he's not judging the world at this time. He's judging the house of Yahweh. We are sitting in judgment at this time. Yahweh's waiting on us to get our butts in gear and stop playing around with the world. It's time to separate ourselves from the things that's keeping us from reaching the full potential that Yahweh wants us to be. Here's another article. The practical reasons to quit. I'm just going to say looking at certain things on the internet. Images on TV and the internet, phones, whether they be violent, sexual, anything like this, when you view these images, you probably feel a sense of enjoyment, or you wouldn't bother doing it. And that's really, I mean, people watch violent movies because they enjoy the violence. They enjoy watching these things. They enjoy the car chases. They enjoy things that, we're going to look right here, it changes the chemical inside your body. It gets certain things going inside your mind. It says you enjoy it or you wouldn't bother with it. The feeling caused by The feeling is caused partly by a chemical called dopamine. The brain evolved dopamine as part of the system to reward you for certain actions, like feeding, reproducing, and bonding with others, which increase your chances of survival and passing on your DNA. All right, remember what Yahweh said? Be fruitful and multiply. He set certain things within us, where we could bring forth a holy seed. But look what these things can do to us. In response to certain experiences like a good meal, praise from a friend, or sexual stimulation, your brain releases dopamine. Dopamine is kind of a chemical called a neurotransmitter, which gives your body an instruction when it comes into contact with a structure in the brain called a synapse. In case of dopamine, the instruction is basically feel happy. The problem with these certain images that you see on the internet, you see on television, he says, in other addictions, is that too artificial stimulation of dopamine releases too much of porn, drugs, alcohol, and it changes the chemical balance in your brain so that you need more dopamine to get the same feeling. And stronger triggers to release that dopamine. Scientists call this tolerance. If you already suffer from a depression or bipolar disorder, this is even a bigger risk, because the chemical balance in your brain is already disrupted. If you don't already suffer from depression, remember that this disrupting of your brain chemistry can actually cause it. So these things cause a certain chemical reaction inside the brain to where what was normal, what was something that you enjoyed looking at, you enjoyed doing before, it's now boring. You need more. Right? And that's what we see in today's television. Right? The things that people enjoyed watching back in the 50s and 60s, they thought was wholesome family entertainment, was just the beginning of the desensitization to lead us up to the point where we're at right now in these last days, to get us to the point where anything's acceptable. Anything that Hollywood wants to throw out there goes. And mankind is willingly, openly accepting it into their homes. Be turning over to Matthew chapter 24. Now, we've seen these things in the news. Now, let's see what Yahweh has to say about it. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. It's on page 752. And because iniquity, the breaking of Yahweh's laws, will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Iniquity. Now, iniquity is taking the laws of Yahweh and setting it to the side. I've got something better to do with my time. Or I have a priority that overshadows what I'm actually assigned to do by Yahweh. So I'm going to push it to the side and I'm going to do it later. All right. Setting the laws of Yahweh to the side. Pushing Yahweh's authority to the side. Yeah, I know that's the instruction. If you remember what Pastor brought out about television, sitting down and watching a television show is the equivalent to going to church on Sunday. Satan's your teacher either way. You're being educated by the system how to break Yahweh's laws. What's the difference? There is no difference. That's why Yahweh says, come out from among it. But this causes the love of many to grow cold. And we see that in this generation. There's no true love. It's not natural for a human being to want to kill another human being. They have to be trained. All right? They have to be desensitized to the fact that they're capable of taking the life of someone else. What do you think the Crusades and all these things the Catholic Church did for year after year? Convert or die. This system hasn't changed since the beginning of Cain. Remember what Cain did. Remember these examples. And we're going to get there in a little bit. The Hebrew word prophet. Look up at verse 10. And then will many be offended and fall away and will betray one another and will hate one another. Many false prophets will arise. Now the word prophet, it's the Hebrew word nabah, and it's 5012, and it means to prophesy, to speak, or sing. To prophesy, to speak, or to sing. Now this really hit because I know what we're covering in workshops today, and hopefully everyone else does because they're going to be there at workshops. We've been covering this for a few weeks. If you remember Pastor talking about what we've been covering, using the synthesizers, the music industry, and how they're using these things. All right? Musical instruments. Remember, Pastor covered the musical instruments, the stringed instruments. All right? They reach a certain frequency. All right? In the 1940s, all right, the Rockefellers got into the music industry, and then this started changing. All right? They started changing the frequencies to where it causes a different reaction with the music. The synthesizers, they reach a certain part of the brain now, and they subconsciously put messages into the music. All right? And remember what Pastor said. All right? Just 2 weeks ago, I remember reading it inside the workshop here. If you've got the problem of still listening to music, you won't be in Yahweh's kingdom. That's simple. That's plain. That's an instruction. But it just doesn't go with music. Anything that separates us from Yahweh, that cuts us off from what we know we should be doing, is going to keep us out of Yahweh's kingdom. Now, we've been educated on how to make a proper choice, to stop and to think about it, and how to use the laws of Yahweh, the instructions from Abel, on how to perfect ourselves before Yahweh. We can become perfect. The only thing holding us back is ourselves and the things that we associate ourselves with that pull us out, whether it be television, family, entertainment, anything that's keeping our minds off of it. And sometimes family can be just as bad as the entertainment. You get a family get together, one person starts running down a priest or running down a kohana or a judge. Next thing you know, the entire household's doing the same things. Separate ourselves from them, those things that are keeping us, those barriers that are holding us back from Yahweh. Separate from them. Focus on the work of Yahweh. If you're doing the work of Yahweh with your whole heart, there's nothing to complain about. There's nothing to complain about if your heart is truly in the work of Yahweh. Because that's where your treasure is. That's what you're building up. I'm not here to build up myself. I'm not here to build everyone else up. We're here to build up the work of Yahweh. And when we do that together, we build ourselves up as strong pillars in Yahweh's work. Look over to 1 Jochanan chapter 3. First Jochanan chapter 3. Start here in verse 7 and 8. Now, Pastor covers this almost weekly. Every newsletter, every prophetic word, you're going to see it. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Remember what Yahshua Messiah just said in Matthew 24:12. Many false prophets will arrive and deceive the many. Whether it be in your households, coming through the television or anywhere else. But here in verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. And he who commits sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Yahweh was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Don't be deceived. Don't let anyone deceive us into these things. Right now, the world is rejoicing. Remember, Gay Pride Day was last week or something like that. I was reading an article on there. And it was speaking about how they were so excited. These things are finally coming out and everyone's enjoying their life now. And they have the freedom to commit sin openly. And you go down, you read the comments, because the comments is always the best thing to read. Because you see how the people are actually reacting. How they're actually looking to this. One person speaks up and says it's sin. The next person says, where's that in my Bible? The next person says, well, it's in the Old Testament in one spot, which was thrown away. and then another part where the Apostle Paul wrote it and just gave his opinion on it. Who taught these people that? Was it not the one that pushed the laws of Yahweh to the side? The one that teaches iniquity? We're going to educate these people on what the consequences of homosexuality, bestiality, all these other things, the sexual sins, the curses that come from eating unclean foods. We're going to educate them on these things. But we can't educate them on these things while we're sitting there still being entertained by the things that's deceiving them. We have to stop the deception from coming in. We have to guard ourselves against it, or we won't be there to educate these people. Don't think about I'm trying to help myself. It's about the people coming in after us. It's about the entire universe. The universe is depending on us. Those that came before us, without us, will not be made perfect. It's up to us to serve the people. The attitude of servitude has got to come from the house of Yahweh at Abel at this time. But I just can't handle the stress. I can't handle all. I'm just quitting. I'm leaving. I can't handle it anymore. Fine. There are thousands upon thousands of people running for their life right now in Africa. Women being raped every single day. Children being slaughtered who would love to be sitting inside your spot right now. Who cry out to be here. Who would never look at being in the house of Yahweh as something holding them back from what they wanted to do. The only thing in this world that's going to be alive when this all comes to a head is going to be the place you're sitting in right now. The work you're looking at. If you're not a part of it now, Pastor said it's going to be too late then. The times now, we're being sentenced, we're being judged right now for the effort we put into it. Don't wait till the last minute to when the time's out. Look over to 1 Jochanan in chapter 1. Look here at verse 5. He says, "For this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that Yahweh is light, and in him is no darkness, evil, falsehood, deception." No, Yahweh doesn't sit there and watch the television. No, Yahweh doesn't sit there and enjoy entertainment. He doesn't allow these things to pull his mind off of what his goals was. If Yahweh did this, he would have had no idea what we were going to be sitting at in these last days. Think of the mind, the focusing that it took in order to accomplish the prophecies that are taking place before our very eyes. That's from Yahweh. He guided all these things. A person wasting their time with television and entertainment, they can't guide anything. The blind will lead the blind and they'll both fall into the ditch. If we say that we have fellowship with him in verse 2, but walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. We can come to Sabbath services and say we serve Yahweh and go the rest of the week and break every law there is out there. And that makes us liars. If we know Yahweh, we become just as Yahweh. We put on the character of Yahweh. It says, "But if we walk in the light, he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yahshua Messiah, his son, cleanses us from all sin." And this fellowship isn't having a cookout and having parties together. This fellowship is serving in Yahweh's house together. That's true fellowship. All right, you want to learn somebody's true character? All right, I don't know how many times, you know, I might have met somebody the first time. Their personality rubbed me the wrong way. I never wanted to talk to the person again. Just because of the way that vibe you get from people sometimes. But then Yahweh says, "Here, you need to work with this person." And then you get to know the true character of the person. And you get to know that their goals are the same as your goals. And then you realize that Yahweh set this up for a reason. Yahweh put us here, complete different personalities, complete different cultures from every background. Look at us. He put us here for a reason to prove that, yes, he can take an Okie and educate a bunch of people that have no idea on what they're doing unless the Okie tells them how to do it. Educates them on how to do it. There's no shame in admitting that. I was raised to keep the Sabbath my entire life. But I never kept the Sabbath until I came to the house of Yahweh because I was keeping it wrong. The Okie had to show me how to properly keep it. How to properly use the name of Yahweh. How to properly put forth work. How to properly provide for a family. How to properly support the work of Yahweh. how to work with one another. All these came forth from Yahweh. Real fast, I'll be turning over to, this is the Moral Excellence book. And it's going to go along with the television. Just want to cover this real fast. It's on page 57. Many of you have read it. I know we've covered it in class many times. But it's the chapter 2. It's the barriers to developing a positive character. Now this covers, this goes in and shows how entertainment, anything, bad company, all these things, these are barriers that keep us from reaching the potential that Yahweh wants us to become. Now that's what the page 57 covers. I don't have time to read it. But please, go home and read these things. Rehearse these things. Remember, we're not going to become perfect without the peaceful solution. The peaceful solution is Yahweh's finishing piece of work with us. Okay? Malachi says it'll change the hearts and the minds of the people. Turning the hearts to the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. It works. It does work as long as we use it. That's what we're going to use. The house of Yahweh just isn't in another cliche or another little era we're going through with a peaceful solution. The peaceful solution is what Yahweh is going to use to convert the entire world to Yahweh's righteousness. We can be a part of it, but we can separate ourselves from it. On page 62 of the Moral Excellence book, it also says, many people say that entertainment today is just harmless fun. Surely, looking at violent movies will not affect my character. Or will it? Or will it? It will. It will. Remember when Cain killed his brother? Yahweh looked at him and said, why are you downcast? Why? His countenance fell. His true character was coming forth. What we put in, we're going to bring forth. We're going to put out. If we're bringing garbage into our household every day, if we're bringing it into our mind, if that's what's going into our mind, and our speech, and our conduct, when we work together, it's going to come out. If we're having a difficult time working with a brother or working with a sister, if we think somebody just keeps stepping on our toes, we need to realize this kingdom isn't just about you. This kingdom is about you and that person and everyone else around us learning to work together. And that's what we're going to build off of. Never let the words, I can't handle this anymore, I'm leaving. Never let that come out of your mouth. Guard against it. Because that shows, I want it my way. I don't want to convert. I don't want Yahweh to make me in His image. I want it to be done the way I want it, or I'm out of here. Well, that's what Yahweh wants to see. But He called us to do a job, and He said we could do it. We just have to learn to do it together. You'll all stand. I'll close with it. I have the great honor and privilege to turn it over to the great Kahan Zephaniah Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We've got some really kind of incredible news today with the occurrences in Egypt, and it matches with the great Kohan's sermon. We've got millions of people who all want it their way in Cairo, and it shows that not only are things the worst ever, but the bad things are occurring faster than ever, because this is just 1 week in Egypt. Now, remember, a year ago, they elected their first democratically elected president, who is who they picked by a majority, but they've protested against him by the millions, these crowds, and they had another protest in the millions in Brazil, but it got covered up because of this news. I've never seen crowds like this before, but they revolted against Morsi, and then the military gave Morsi an ultimatum, and then they had a military coup, and then the military took over, and then the Brotherhood revolted against the military leaders, and that's what's going on right now. And this is just 1 week in Egypt in fulfillment of these prophecies. So let's play the news. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. That's better. Yeah, that's much better. Come on. Praise Yahweh! You may be seated.
That put the Pope to shame with the poor applause that he got. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I left off last week with Zechariah 3 now and 1, but I'm not going to go back to that today. I was, but I want the great Kohan Eliyah Hyler Hawkins to bring the pictures. He called me right after services last week and said what I brought was an exact description of what is shown in the nebula. And they have the pictures of it. NASA took them, so they can't be denied. So I said, well, I want to go to Egypt and show, I want everyone to know what the prophecies concerning Egypt. Everyone in the world needs to know it. But if you remember now, we saw in Zechariah that the Yahweh's work in the last days, as was Yahweh and then Yahshua and the branch, and is the last day's work of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh, as Zechariah shows, and shows the branch, the olive branch, and the same thing that Revelation 11 shows, which is the two witnesses. And then Satan opposing every move of Yahshua, because Yahshua is high priest over the house of Yahweh. Yahshua is high priest over this work in this time period, in the last generation. So Satan, of course, is standing there opposing what we do. Now, she's been cast to earth, and of course she's at this time influencing the nations. Egypt is one of them. I think she knows the prophecies concerning Egypt, but Egypt is actually going to turn to Yahweh. Yes, yes. Along with the quartet, but it's going to take a lot of action to do this, of course. But if you can imagine what we're seeing there in Zechariah 3, that's a magnificent prophecy showing, if you could get the magnitude of this thing, it's like the United States being the huge nation that it is, the United Nations that it is, the powerful nation, more powerful, the most powerful nation of all, the chief of the nations. And, of course, they're trying to bring through democracy to the other nations. Democracy, you can see its weak points, of course, in Egypt and in the Coptic religion. The Coptics is, of course, nothing but Christianity. In fact, you can, if you want to look up their, in their own books, they'll tell you that their major feasts are Christmas, Easter, Palm Sunday, Easter. They celebrate the resurrection according to the Catholic Church of Rome, the same thing that they celebrate. And so there's nothing different there. In fact, if you remember Samuel, 1 Samuel 7 and 8, Yahweh said to Samuel, in chapter 7, he shows us celebrating Easter and the other Christian holidays there. Yeremiah showed that they celebrated Christmas. Isaiah showed that they celebrated Halloween, following the priest who eats swine's flesh. And so you can see it's coming right down from Egypt. And then Yahweh told Samuel, he said, they have done this since the days that they've rebelled against me. They've done this since the days that I brought them out of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt. Yeremiah said, you've turned back to Egypt. Well, he said, in your hearts, meaning to the religions, the God worship that they followed there, the Elohim worship that they followed in Egypt. The same things that is celebrated in Rome today. Egypt was not a suitable country for Benjamin, the Benjamite army, the great roving army. It wasn't a suitable country for that. They're more or less pinned in and pinned to a certain spot. If you notice, they can't go anywhere. They would have to take over nations to do so. The seven hills of Rome and Babylon was chosen because they were central located to where they could take prisoners and bring them to those countries and then send them out where they wanted to. The Benjamites and Yada, if you'll see this, the history said they married. What they meant was they combined. Daniel said the army gave its support to the Catholic Church, the Pope, the little horn. By the way, Coptic, they have Coptic popes also. In fact, if you noticed on the news, he was called. I think I have a picture of him. But everything is the same. And, of course, when they came out of Egypt, they brought the religions with them. But when the Benjamites formed this huge army, and they weren't all Benjamites, but if you remember, the Apostle Shaul was a great example of the Benjamites. And he showed what he did, and he took men, women, and children. He took them to before the priest, before he took them into a permanent captivity to Babylon and Rome. I know I've got it. I got to show you this picture. Here it is. Here's the Pope, and you can see the crosses. If we can get close enough, you can see the crosses on their uniforms, like the, and there's his name, and of course they call him Pope throughout this article, but if you'll look close, you can see the crosses, then the upside-down sword in his left hand, which they never did become strong like those that followed the little horn. The Egyptians didn't. In fact, the ones that when they tried to follow the 12 tribes out of Israel, Yahweh destroyed their armies. So there was thousands of the 12 tribes that went back into Egypt, took over that land, and what you see today is a mixture there of what was displayed in Samuel, the seventh chapter, and what you're seeing today. And the same religion is followed. Now, the ones that came out started fighting in Israel, and then they took the land of Babylon, they took the seven hills of Rome, and the strong army now, the roving army, or Roman army, they started turning people to the Catholic Church. The Herodians actually owned these people, and they paid their salaries. I'm talking about the army. And they would take the wealth of the nations, and they would pay these soldiers. And, of course, they built a huge army, and which was a roving army. They sent out spies throughout the land. They knew where every tribe was or community of people. They settled in small communities and trying to just stay in peace with one another and get away from the wars and fighting. They wanted to get out of Israel because of the wars that was going on there among the tribes. So they would find a place where it was secluded, and there they would build a settlement. Well, eventually, the roving or Roman army would find this settlement, and they would say, "We can offer you our services if you will pay tribute," of course. Well, they took this tribute from those who would, and this was what was used to pay the armies. They just took what they wanted. The ones that wouldn't give the tribute, the spies would leave, and they'd say, "Well, that's fine. You don't have to join us," because they didn't want to scare them or let them know what they're going to do. But later they would send the army then. The army would kill the leaders and kill the men who would not submit to what they wanted them to do. Then they would take the rest of these and take them to Babylon, where they were retrained like you see in Daniel. I'm having to tell you this because it all has to do with Egypt. But what took place in Egypt is a retraining program that took place after the 12 tribes came out. The 12 tribes, many thousands of these, or millions, went back into Egypt. And, of course, they took over Egypt because they had Egypt had no defense at that time. So they moved in and took the government in more or less a peaceful way. Now, today, what we see there, we saw democracy just formed. We saw a man win an election legally. He won an election legally, put in office by the majority. That's what democracy is. It's supposed to be not by dictatorship, which is ruled by a few, but the majority of the people give their vote, and of course they have their representatives there and in Washington. Everything was held according to the laws, the governmental laws of the United States, the municipal system. He won this election legally by the majority of the vote. But he was not a Christian. He was not a Catholic. And he was passing laws to push forward the Muslims. And of course, even though Christianity is a minority religion in Egypt, they said, "Let's take this back over, get rid of this man, and set up our own government," which they did. Now, you see this take place not because they're the majority. You saw it with Nimrod. Nimrod is a perfect example of what we're just seeing right now in Egypt. Nimrod, by force, by terror, they took the country, not by democracy, but by force and terror. And that's the way the Catholic Church and the Roman army operated, and that's how they built up the huge army that eventually ruled the world. As was told, I told you this a few weeks ago in order to set you up for this. In Daniel 2, if you remember, Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, "Wherever man breathes, wherever he walks, animal or man, you are over it. You're going to be over it." So, not him, but of course, there was four of these horns, if you remember, that was represented by the four-horned altar that brings forth wars, destruction, death. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar was the start of this great Roman Empire, though you don't see it there, but you see it later. The next one that came was weaker, then a stronger one, and then the strongest of this combination of the four horns that brings forth death and destruction. And that's what Yahweh said, "I set before you." Now, with all of that in mind, we see what has come down to us today is not Yahweh's ruling, but Yahweh's permission to rule, Yahweh's permission for them to reject his laws and with their religion and their army rule the earth. We see this week, we saw that they're going to make Pope John Paul II a saint. Well, see, this is not of Yahweh. In fact, if you'll turn to Revelations 12 and verse 17, Well, you see the actions of the Catholic Church. Their government is not democracy. It's Terah. It's Nimrod. It's resist Yahweh and do what you want to do. It's rebel. It means rebel. And this is what they're doing. Well, Yahweh says to be a saint of His, you must keep His laws. And He tells you how to do this. And then He Himself is the judge. Now it's Yahshua, our high priest. All judgment is given to Yahshua. And He says He will say whether you did or didn't make it. Well, here in chapter 12, you don't have to fear not making it if you just abide in the house of Yahweh, if you endure. If you endure, then Yahweh says you got it made. If you fall out, there's where you lost it. You're like the prodigal son that don't come back. Well, in Revelations 12:17 here, we see that he says the dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with those who forsook her seed, work along with them to accuse, bring accusations. The same, Zechariah put it plainly. Zechariah 3:1, if you remember, Satan is standing opposing Yahweh, opposing Yahshua, opposing the house of Yahweh. So she works with these. Of course, she does this all over the world, but she's got the Catholic Church where she wants them, and the Catholic Church has the governments. The king, she's leader of the kings of the earth, remember? The Vatican. He's leader of the kings of the earth. Well, here she shows Satan working with the seed, the fallaways, who her seed brings, her seed being those who keep the commandments, to make war against those who keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua. Well, the testimony of Yahshua is being given right now. Beholding the branch, beholding the house to whom Yahshua is high priest. So he's testifying for the house, but of course he's being opposed. Well, you remember from that, after that, Zechariah 6:11, but look on over to chapter 14 now in verse 12, speaking of them saying, well, we're just going to make this Pope a saint. That's in their own words. They actually, it means nothing. It's like saying, I'm going to make this person a senator. Well, he goes to Washington. Well, where's your credentials? Well, they made me a senator. They said I was a senator. Well, that's about all it amounts to in what they're doing with Pope John Paul II. They could say all they want to that he's a saint, but he's not recognized at all. In fact, he's cut off from Yahweh. They are too. In chapter 14 and verse 12, he said, in this manner are the saints. These are the saints of Yahweh, purified by keeping the laws of Yahweh in conformity with the faith as Yahshua Messiah, the faith that he lived, the one and only faith given to mankind. In chapter 22 now, here's the Savior speaking. You notice a saint is one who keeps the laws of Yahweh. In chapter 22, verse 12, here's the Savior speaking. He says, I'm the first. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work will be. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who keep his laws. Speaking of the Father now, if you look down to verse 16, I, Yahshua, which King James Version, removed and put Lord. I, the Lord, have sent my messenger to testify to you these things in the congregations of the house of Yahweh. And, of course, I think the King James put church, changed it and put church. Now, this is what the Coptics follow. They follow exactly what the Catholics did mostly Constantine, who they say was an idiot, but he got his two gods through. The Coptics, they worship Zeus, which is Jupiter, whose name was changed, whose name was translated into English. It wasn't Yahshua's name they meant to translate, but they meant to translate Zeus and Jupiter. And that's what they admit in this article right here, Zeus and Jupiter, whom they, Zeus is Spanish Jesus, and then a Greek, then Zeus was translated Jesus. That's when they invented the J to go in the English language so they could translate this and use this word to deceive, of course. It's all a bunch of deception to have you worship Zeus, who is Jupiter, who is the chief god, the chief god. Now, what they're saying when they want to deify John, this dead pope, they're saying they're going to make him a god. Now, they already have one miracle where the woman said she was healed of Parkinson's disease, which, of course, is incurable. I think it was Parkinson's disease. It's incurable. But she says she was healed, and they accepted it, and I saw no proof after that anything from any doctors or scientists, but if it was, it was falsified. Because dead people can't do anything. They know not anything your scriptures say. Now, the Coptics, they follow what? They follow the same thing the Catholics do, the King James Version. King James. So they more or less believe exactly what the Catholics do in Rome. They are brothers or whatever tribesmen that you would see. Well, of course, this thing that they're following, of course, is sin. It brings forth filth, as is shown in Revelation 17. This is what confuses the mind, what we're seeing right now in Egypt. Right now, we're seeing America's most feces-polluted beaches. They're being mapped out. Well, this is just some of the filth that you see being brought forth now as Revelations, the 17th chapter, I think it's verse 5. This is the world. This is the world I'm speaking of, the whole world. And Yahweh says, come out of this so you won't partake of their sins. If you partake of their sins, then you're going to partake of the plagues that go with those sins. A disease without a cure, spreads quietly in the West. Bakersfield, California. In 36 years, this man was a policeman. He faced all kinds of danger, and now from everything and live through it. Now he's suffering from this disease that is spreading. Right here in America now, his most life-threatening encounter has been with valley fever, they're calling it, for which he is being treated here for this known as valley fever, is an insidious airborne fungal disease. What did this come from? This is what I always ask. What created this fungal that we can't do anything about? And why is it now plaguing us? Why is it coming back at us? It comes from the earth. It's coming from the earth. They found out that much. Disease in which microscopic spores in the soil take flight in the wind. Well, now, if it's in the wind, it's in the air you're breathing, or could be in the air you're breathing, or even a mild breeze to lodge in the moist habitat of the lungs. I've got article after article now that I want to bring you eventually showing that these STDs, they accumulate in the body and they stay there. Now, when something interrupts them or when they decide to spread to another location, they merely enter a bloodline and they take that highway to wherever they choose to get off. It may be the brain. And this is the most publicized thing that we're seeing right now, is cancer of the brain. These, they've already let the cat out of the bag now, that these cancers of the brain are, and of the throat and of other places, is caused by STDs. If you remember, Yahweh said, don't do these things, don't break these laws. Be at peace with the earth, and it won't vomit you out. Well, of course, they're not at this time. And they're forcing the earth to do what the earth can't do anymore. It doesn't have the power to do it. So they're forcing it to overwork, like the 12 tribes of Israel in Egypt is put under much burden. Well, they put the earth under much burden, and now the earth is sick. And the things that are coming forth from the earth is sickness and disease, and it's being in the wind. I've been bringing this forth now for about 40 years, and now, just now, the scientists are beginning to say, hey, Yahweh is right. Well, of course, these statements will eventually convert Egypt, Scripture shows. But he says here, to lodge in the moist habitat of the lungs and in the most extreme instances spread to the bones. Well, what causes this Parkinson's disease? What causes this Alzheimer's disease? What causes these diseases? Why won't you tell them it's breaking Yahweh's laws that caused them? Why don't you spread it throughout the earth and let them see the wonderful thing that Yahweh gave us in 613 laws? You know, I think today our young people have the best opportunity. You know, they have a wonderful opportunity set in front of them. Number one, you're my seed. Number two, you're getting the words weekly here, sometimes daily, being taught, and all you have to do is grasp it and tell Yahweh you want to be a part of it, and you're in. It's so simple, you know, if you just say, I don't want to be a part of this sin that's bringing all this sickness, disease, and misery to the people. Nelson Mandela, I've always had an admiration for his work, mainly because he spent years in prison because he believed in a certain thing, and he stood up for it. And he was talking to, I think the boy was about 12 years old, he had brain cancer, and Mandela was encouraging him and said, you know, don't lose hope, told him not to lose hope. About 3 months after Mandela talked to him, he died. Brain cancer. You're seeing a lot of it now because famous actors are, you know, it's showing up in them. And, of course, what kills them? The news. This is big news. They're celebrities, so the big news travels throughout the earth. Well, along with that news now is coming some truth from Yahweh saying, I told you so. I told you if you break these laws, you're going to suffer these things. And I'm telling you now, come out from among them and be separate. That's what Yahweh tells you, young people. You don't have to give in to Yahweh. You can go, I'm not going to be watching you. You can go into the world and partake of it. I know of people. One came to me before he died, and he was deathly sick with cancer. He said, you know, I really want to be a part of this house. He was seen a few days before that. It was reported to me that he was eating out in the world. And I guess he never, ever tried to come out of the world, because I've brought out the filth that's in this world. The great golden corral. The golden corral. I saw with my own eyes the cooks do not wash their hands. You talk about a filthy beach? What did I do with that article? The FDA says, let's see, more than 80% of closings and advisories were issued because bacterial levels in beach water exceeded public health standards, indicating the potential presence of human or animal waste in the water. And then we come back to that sickeningly low 1 in 28 standard. We mean that literally that standards is set at a level that allows 36 gastrointestinal illnesses for every 1,000 swimmers. So there's just enough pollution allowed to ensure that only 35 people out of every 1,000 get poisoned stomachs from ingesting human or animal waste. Just imagine a restaurant. Maybe the Golden Corral. I saw it for myself. And the manager that I reported it to before we left, he smiled and he said, yeah, I've heard that before about that person. Well, it's a lot worse than that with the food out there. As you've seen the specials that we've shown here about the food. You're eating something you don't even know what is there. You don't even know what's in it when you get it. And they show this about the hamburger meat. Well, of course, the person that I'm talking about was one of the members, but he just never did fully tell Yahweh, yeah, I'm going to come out of the world and get out of it. He kept eating, but he was dead a few months after he came and talked to me. Disease without cure is spreading. And of course, it gets in the lungs, it spreads in the bones, in the skin, in the eyes. As Mr. Croman's case, the brain. So here's one now that it's got into his brain. This is the police officer that worked facing harm and danger daily, and now he's fighting something, the doctors are trying to find something to maybe stop this fungal that's in the earth, that can't stand to live in the earth any longer, that was put there for a purpose. You know, but now it can't stand the earth any longer, so it gets out, goes floating through the air, trying to find a suitable place to live. The infection, I'm not saying this, you know, because I think of 1 in 35 are going to die, or 35 out of 1,000. It's worse than that right now. If you'd look it up, if you just look at the statistics on these diseases, you'll see 1 in 5 is going to die of this, and 1 in 4 is going to die of this. And they're sick right now and paying the doctors to prolong their life as long as they can. This is what you're facing in the world. And Yahweh's saying, come out of it, or you're going to partake of the plagues that is written in this book. The very fact that we're in this situation right now. And you can see this from the prophecies. The Savior said, you're going to see disease epidemics worse than any other time in history. That's in 24, Matthew 24, King James Version. Verse 7, then 21 and 22. And we're seeing it. All you've got to do is get on the internet. Don't go looking for stupidity to sink your stupid brain any lower. You know, I'm talking to the world. You know, you go on the internet, the first thing you'll find is Satan opposing Yahweh's house. If you look it up, what was you expecting to find? This praising Yahweh's house? No, they're not praising us, but I'm telling you this, we're going to come through the winter. I'm telling all countries you're going down. And there's evidence of you going down. All you got to do is take your mind out of the gutter for a few minutes, get on the internet, and look up the statistics of these diseases, and you'll see every person in the world has a disease. And it's bringing that body down. Every person in the world, many of those people, many, many of those people have cancer of the brain or some other thing in their brain. But it's scattered throughout their body and waiting for a time to take control and bring the person down. We're seeing people strap on bombs. What kind of an idiot would it take to strap on a bomb and blow yourself up? Do you want to become that? Then come out of this world. No, don't partake of their filth anymore. Get out of it and stay out of it. We have made a way for you to do so. I'm saying to the nations now, come, we have a way of bringing health back. We have a way of bringing peace. We could bring peace to Egypt in 3 months. Yes, we could. The infection, which the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention was labeled a silent epidemic. That's what the Savior said. There's going to be epidemics, big ones. Is striking more people each year, with more than 20,000 reported cases annually throughout the Southwest, especially in California and Arizona. Although most people exposed to the fungus do not fall ill, about 160 die from it each year, with thousands more facing years of disability. Oh boy, what a pain in my back, what a pain in my foot, what a pain here, a pain there. My head is hurting so bad I can't stand it. Do you see what we've got ourselves into? And Yahweh is the only one that has an answer to getting us out of it. Yes. And that's what he's offering the nations right now through his house. And of course, Satan is opposing it, as Yahweh said she would. Now, he can tell you, and is going to tell you, when she's going to be chained and not be able to deceive the world any longer. Deception. It's pure deception saying, I'm going to make this pope a saint. They can't make the pope a saint. They'd have had to start it at childhood and started teaching him the laws of Yahweh. That's what makes you so much better, children. You, yes, are classified as saints because you keep the laws of Yahweh, and you have Yahweh's testimony on your side. He's praying for you. He's not praying for the world, as he said, chapter 5 of Yochanan. He's praying for you. You got him on your side right now. He's your high priest. He can help you. All you got to do is cry out to him. He will help you. That's what he's there for. Beholding the branch. This branch right here that we're seeing in the house, and it's going to spread. It's going to be the biggest tree, he said. And he says, the gates of hell is not going to prevail. Well, facing years of disability and surgery, of course, surgery, big money in surgery. About 9% of those infected will contact pneumonia. And of course, they died of pneumonia. It's like the millions of cases of cancer. And of course, it gets to hurting. Are you listening to me? Cancer hurts. There's nothing that hurts like cancer. And you beg for a pill or something to stop it. And the doctors are there to supply the pills. So you die, and they say, well, you died of overdose. Oh, you mean the cancer didn't kill him? I thought you said he had cancer, so bad that he couldn't stand the pain. Yeah, but that didn't kill him. He took too much medicine. That killed him. Or, oh, no, he had pneumonia. Pneumonia killed him. If they would just be honest with the people and tell the people, you know, that these STDs are killing you. Yes, they took pain pills because they couldn't stand the pain. And they'd rather die than not take the pill. Now, this is the shape that they're getting in. This is the shape the whole world is getting in. You got pains in your body? They'll increase. The more of this world you stay in, the more they will increase. Until you're dead. Yeshua said, sin no more, or worse things will come upon you. Yahweh is offering the whole world now a way out, and I know that Egypt is going to turn. I'm not getting far into that sermon today, but I know that Egypt is going to turn, as Scripture shows, prophecy shows, and then by then we'll probably have the information set up to where we can see the pictures that is being written in the clouds and the nebula, because Yahweh shows this very thing, and then I'll get back into that Zechariah 3. Let me read you the rest of this. And 1% will experience serious complications beyond the lungs. Beyond the lungs. I don't know of any hope anywhere except what Yahweh has to offer. It's like Yahweh says he's the only one that can predict the future. There's never been any gods of Egypt or anywhere else that has tried to disclaim Yahweh being the one that can predict the future. Yahweh said in the last days he would establish his house, and his house will bring healing to the people, healing to the nations. And I know for a fact that this can be done. I know that we can bring peace. We brought peace to many schools already, many prisons, many organizations already. We could bring peace to Egypt in, I'd say, 30 days. 30 days under the right circumstances. The impossible might take a little bit longer, but 30 days would be the limit, I'd say, before we could set up a peaceful solution in Egypt where there'd be no more fighting, no more bickering. The people would all work together. Now, there's no one else on the face of the earth that can offer that but the house of Yahweh. And the only reason I'm offering it is because Yahweh is behind this house. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!